everybody. Welcome to the Community Geek Podcast. My name is Katie Kobe, and I'm head of training for Feverbee Limited. I train community managers in the art of community building using proven social science techniques. In the Community Geek Podcast, I'll share tools and techniques that you can use in your daily community management efforts. Listen weekly to get new tips, industry news, and hear stories from guest practitioners to help you become the best community manager in the business. Make sure to subscribe for free updates and review our show notes to get all of the resources mentioned in the podcast. Show notes are published weekly at communitygeek.com/podcast. So today, I am very pleased to welcome Diane Kibbe, Global Head of Community for Premier Farnell. Welcome, Diane.
Thanks. Be here.
We're so lucky to have you. So for those that don't know, Diane is the brains behind the incredible Element 14 community, which I would say is definitely the top community on the internet for people in computer science engineering. So in 2011, she led the development and introduction of Element 14, providing a global forum for engineers to collaborate, learn about new technology, solve problems, and access leading products to help complete their designs. The community has gone on to do some really great things, including promoting new innovation through global design challenges. And in fact, in 2012, Element 14 won the coveted Forrester Groundswell Award for supporting B2B customers, as well as Jive's Customer Award for engaging customers. So Diane is responsible for guiding the ongoing community development, content strategy, campaigns, online listening, measurement, organizational improvement for community, and for social media engagement. So really big job. You've done some really great things. Welcome. It's so great to have you.
Thanks. Look forward to speaking.
Great. So to get started, Diane and I were kind of chit-chatting a little bit before the show, and we really wanted to focus on content today. So I guess to kick us all off, can you tell me a bit about the content programming that we have for Element 14? What kinds of content do you put together? What kind of content do you get from the community, that sort of thing?
Okay, sure. So I think content on Element 14, probably like most communities, is a mixture of Element 14 generated and member generated. We do have a monthly content calendar, so we try to put together themes that we're focused on, such as new development kits, you know, that are coming to market. Test equipment is big with engineers. And in general, just new products coming to market that electronics engineers are interested in. Mm-hmm. But then after we look at this calendar of themes, we really have various ways of getting the content created by our members and delivering it in a way that's engaging to our community. So you could say that it's primarily educational or technical, mm-hmm. but in the format that our members want to learn from. I guess just a great example is you can launch a product to market by just putting up technical specs, which are definitely valuable to an engineer, but you can also ask your member to tell you the most interesting way they would use a product and then actually get selected to participate in a road test mm-hmm. where the member actually gets the product and writes a detailed review of that.
Oh, great. So I guess, so with the road test, then you sort of ask for submissions first, and then you pick the engineers who then go on and write the full-on review. Is that how that works?
Right. We really go through, we usually get a lot of applicants because these are brand new products to market, mm-hmm. And we'll go through who we think is going to give the best review and who's got the best idea to showcase the product, and then pick them to actually get the free product and write the review, which is great, and we have a really good response rate. I mean, I think everyone knows when you send product out, you may or may not get a review, but we actually have a really good response rate of those that produce this content. And it's not just like a two-paragraph blog. These people will, like, put images in and code and video, and they do amazing reviews of products, which has been really great.
Oh, fantastic. How do you feature those reviews? How do you work with them with the rest of the company?
So we actually, yeah, that's a good question because it took us some time to really begin utilizing these. So all the road tests and prior road tests on the community. So we always get a lot of views for people to go back and look at them. But what we're also doing is on our transaction site, we're featuring the road test reviews because that really does help with conversion of the whole product. We also use them, we've used them in some commercial marketing things but more so as extra data that a customer can need when they go on our transactional site.
Interesting. I'm just taking a note of that. That's like a really cool idea, especially, you know, I've had in my past life working for a community platform vendor, one of the selling points was talking about, you know, leveraging this user-generated content on your products page to give people more insight before they go in to purchase. And so it sounds like that's something, especially with these particular, you know, road test reviews that are so in-depth and so detailed, it sounds like that's something that really helps with conversion.
It does. It does, definitely.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for giving us a little bit of insight there. I'm curious, so I was looking on Element 14 to see some of the different types of content and the things that you have going on there, and you have a lot of really great stuff. And one of the, I guess, types of contests that I noticed has to do with like webcasts and videos. So what does a member have to go through, or, you know, how much reputation do they have to earn before they get to the point where they're hosting their own webcasts or submitting videos to the site?
Okay. Well, so technically there is no limitation that really would keep a member from uploading video.
Mm-hmm.
We've kept that pretty open. But I think the real criteria is that of being a reliable member, you know, that they regularly post and answer questions of others. And then if you look at Road Test, for example, where many of them do upload video, I mean, we actually do on the person to make sure that they've not, you know, been sent product before, and we'll actually do the review. And we're really basing a lot of the selection on their input and how detailed they can get about what they're going to do with the product to actually then get it and upload a video. So the same goes with our design challenges. I mean, where it's really based on members that have shown that they deliver or can deliver and have delivered in the past. But then we also pick brand new members. So it's not so much based on, you know, the point value, which they all do have. They do gamification, and each of them does have different levels that they, you know, aspire to get to. But we're really based on, you know, their past delivery and kind of the way they showcase their expertise, and we know that they'll actually give us a decent review.
Okay. Can I ask a little bit of a behind the scenes sort of question? When you're looking at their history, I mean, is this something that is done in an automated way, or do you have a team that sort of, you know, manually reviews people and you have it tracked in a CRM somewhere, or how do you sort of keep it all in check?
It's done manually.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It's very manual. So, but I will say we have an incredible content team. And we have people on our team that were actually engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So they lend a lot of credibility to kind of assessing, you know, whether or not somebody gives a two sentence, I'm going to take this product to make something cool, or they actually can tell you, I'm going to make a device that can read my brain waves and actually turn on an appliance, when I want it to for home automation. So really look at, you know, and we tell them we're going to look at the depth of your input to know that you're going to actually give us a quality review. You know, and then we of course look at their past history on the community. And if we can, we do a little external research. But it is manual. And with, I think to do that though, we developed some really strong relationships with the engineers. We have developed this really good base of top members that regularly do these different things for us. We know their different areas of expertise.
Very cool. So the manual effort definitely pays off in the end. It just might be a lot of elbow grease to begin with.
Yes. And I will say we did this because we learned from experience. In the beginning, we would literally just pick random.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had 250 submissions, we would pick random and send the product out, and we just did not get good results at all. And so, you know, a lot of this is trial and error and learning what works.
Mm-hmm.
For the effort that it takes.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Well, how do partnerships then play into your content strategy? I mean, you guys, especially given the industry that you're in and all the different groups and organizations that you work with, how do partnerships kind of come into play and how do you approach that?
Okay. We definitely have a wide range of partnerships. I mean, from technical bloggers, different technical content providers, and our suppliers play a major role in our content strategy. So I think we've spent a lot of time over the last few years in developing a really wide network of partners. And to be honest, most of them are engineers by trade.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the people that we call to develop projects, to write the reviews, to develop even schematics and code examples. So we'll, you know, if we go to a certain, say a certain manufacturer is launching a product, we'll actually ask to talk to one of the technical folks from there that can help us develop some technical content. So our partners are really important to us. But because we've done this now, when a new product comes to market, we have this network that we can pick from and say, for example, this one has a lot of experience with ARM technology, which is a big thing that's going into development boards now. And so we can call on them, or we have another expert that's really great in Arduino. So if there's a new Arduino product coming to market, you know, we can call on them. So it's our partners play a major role in our developing our content.
Gotcha. And then do they help then, I guess, on their side with sort of like the promotion piece of it, or is it primarily around, you know, making sure that you've got the technical documentation put together, or the videos, or are the different sort of interviews and things that you need?
We definitely want the joint promotion.
Okay.
So and as a distributor, our relationship with our suppliers is so important. I mean, because we don't physically make the product. We're selling product for a manufacturer.
Mm.
So, but they also have their own, you know, marketing group behind the scenes. So what we'd like to do is kind of join up on social media, and kind of create like joint programs, through social media and through, you know, the various marketing channels. And that's the ideal way when you launch a product. Occasionally, you know, we're doing a lot of the marketing and they're asking our community to be the face. I mean, we've had several launches where they said, we want this to be a community board. We want you to be the ones to launch it. In which case, it's our kind of our marketing machine doing the work. But the joint way is great because it just shows that, you know, the partnership between the manufacturer and the distributor.
Right. And it seems like it would be really important, at least from a buyer's perspective, to be able to see that and feel the authenticity there.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the Ben Heck show. I saw the different promos and I actually had to do a little bit of research. And Ben Heck is a technology blogger in the space. Is that right?
Yeah, he's a maker. He's a maker.
Okay.
He's kind of he's like an electronics maker who actually creates a lot of new things, but mainly he mods or modifies old products and makes new ones with it. So he's kind of famous for taking old video game consoles,
mm-hmm.
like old Xbox, Nintendos, even Ataris, and making new products out of them. It's kind
okay.
of funny. Yeah, he's you know, he's like an engineer, but, you know, it's kind of part of the whole maker DIY movement.
Very cool. So how did you go about partnering with him and putting together his whole show? How does that entire sort of piece of the content strategy work?
Sure. So first I'll just tell you it's good timing because this week is actually our 150th episode.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you. And we are about to enter our fifth season together. So we've had a partnership with Ben since the early days of the community. And this relationship really started as we saw the whole maker electronics DIY movement. And this whole thing is so important to the electronics and engineering market.
Mm-hmm.
To things like communities, there's so much access to technology and code that a lot of new innovations being done, you know, through small companies and at home. And we've seen that a lot of engineers by day are actually kind of makers by night,
mm-hmm.
Are using things, you know, with robotics and 3D printing. And Ben is kind of like the ultimate maker. and he's created some really, really funny and cool inventions like his electronic doggy door, robot luggage, which will actually follow you around in the airport so you don't have to lug with you.
I'm going to have to look into this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some amazing things that he's done, and he's also done a lot of work kind of in the, I guess it would be like more like social responsibility. He's created a lot of like one-handed gaming tools, and he actually gives these things away to people. So he's worked a lot to develop gaming and materials that, you know, those that, you know, aren't functioning with both arms, mm-hmm. to do things. So originally we used an agency. So we found BenHack, really just by searching, and we used an agency to help put the show together. But actually last year we brought it in house. So we do all of it ourselves. You know, we start out the year with a show calendar. Really it's been the news, and then he does about 80%, and then we kind of, the rest is kind of us, putting our products in there that we want him to also talk about that he can create, you know, different inventions from. So the BenHack is a great piece of our community content. It really, a lot of engineers just love what he does, mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. it kind of fits their personal interests, you know, because an engineer by day is often an engineer at night. So he's, you know, he's kind of appealing to their more, I guess their personal, you know, the personal part of them.
That's really interesting. It's almost like having Bill Nye, the science guy, on your community every week doing a show.
Yep.
That's really great. So did you guys approach Ben, or did Ben approach you?
We approached Ben.
Okay. So there's a lesson. Don't be afraid to approach the little local celebrities within your industry.
Yeah, and he had a small following at the time. I mean, we had already seen like a lot of his stuff out on the web and mm-hmm. On YouTube, and then we started talking to him, and now he's got this great workshop up in Madison, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. that we go up, and that's where he produces all of his innovation.
That's really
neat. So he's just been a great piece of the community.
Yeah, he definitely seems to give, I mean, the communities all have a lot of life, but he adds this like really vibrant personality that you can kind of point out from the beginning. And also what I think is really cool about him and what he does is it kind of attracts a different audience. Like, so your community is very highly technical, and you have a lot of people, you know, like writing code and taking things apart and putting them back together. But it also sort of appeals to the sort of, you know, the wow, that's really cool aspect to it when he's talking about taking apart an Xbox and building it into something else, or, you know, having your luggage following you around an airport, for instance. I think that's really interesting because it sort of, it makes that whole movement feel a little more accessible to those who don't have that highly technical background, which is, I think that you guys have done a really great job in being able to do that.
Yeah, and that is a market that's growing. There's been a lot of products that have come to market, like Raspberry Pi and Arduino and BeagleBone from Texas Instruments, that are really aimed at the education market and getting people interested in electronics engineering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so accessible now, and that's what Ben's about, is showing how accessible it is to invent things.
Myself, when I was a child, I loved to take things apart, was never really successful at putting them back together. But this whole thing just, it's absolutely appealing to me.
And then sometimes that happens to him as well.
Good. It's not always roses. That's good to hear. Very cool. Well, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the types of content that work really well for your community, specifically the road shows and reviews, and, you know, the videos and partnering with Ben and the forums, of course. But are there any types of content that you found don't work very well for your community, or specific things that you intentionally avoid or do less of?
Yes, and this question kind of makes me laugh a little bit, because engineers in general do not like being sold to,
right.
Or being marketed to in the traditional way. And we did learn that the hard way. I mean, as part of a larger corporation, you know, there's a lot of requests to add banners and sales ads and discounting and kind of just pure product marketing mm-hmm. Things on the site. And as I said, these were not met with a positive reaction. Some of our closest members were really, really clear about that. And after some trial and error, we pretty much said this is not what the community is about. What we try to do is provide as much information as possible about a product, you know, whether it's technical data sheets, which are still very useful, but more importantly, things like user projects, design competitions that showcase the technology, and then we make it really easy if someone wants to buy it. There's always, an embedded link, so if we're talking about a product, well, there's a buy button off to the side. So we make it very easy if someone wants to buy, but it's very, you know, off to the side, not in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's ultimately the content is what they're looking for, and they want to learn about new technology. But we stay away from, you know, no matter how much we're asked, we don't put banner ads on the site. It's just, it's not what the community's about.
Yeah, I could see that causing some friction, to say the least.
Yeah, right. And I think that's a general problem you see with a lot of, you know, when you're combining, when you're creating a community for a large corporation, ultimately, you know, we all want to sell product. So there's always that kind of that purist community view against the corporation of, no, we can't do banner ads. But, you know, that we have a lot of click-throughs to our transactional site, and we absolutely generate revenue for the company, but we don't do it in an overt, you know, in-your-face way. And there's mm-hmm. ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. Very true. All right. So banner ads, we'll make sure we avoid those. Now I'm going to ask you my sort of kind of off the wall question, and that is, what do you think is the most underrated kind of content that's being used, online today?
All right. Well, this is funny because I was literally just talking to my SEO team, a couple of hours ago, and they keep telling me that I need to do more around, images and infographics,
mm-hmm.
And really around illustrating different technical concepts. So, and I get it. I mean, it's and this would be for ours. I mean, we're always trying to illustrate technical concepts, and link to a lot of different content. And through, you know, some kind of an infographic, you can kind of show, say, a whole design and then where the different products fit in the larger design. But of course, infographics can be used across any type of content. And then for ours, you know, what really is successful today, and I don't know how much it's utilized on other sites, is this idea of having members, accept a challenge and really create new innovation on your site. You know, and it's not through your typical forums and discussions. It's giving them something and having them go away and create it and then come back and build a community about it. So it's more in the form of them showing what they did through videos and through blogs and through diagrams and schematics and things like that.
So I have a couple points there. So when members accept their challenges, because I don't see, I mean, sure, you see the typical contest like win a trip to fly and come have dinner with our CEO type of contest, but in terms of what Element 14 does with their design challenges, I mean, you're really out there encouraging people to go and make the world a better place, like quite literally. You're go out there, innovate, go out there and find a way to change things. So when people are, you had mentioned videos and blogs, but how exactly are they like submitting their work to you? Do you have like detailed requirements mapped out, and do they win prizes for these challenges, or how does that work?
Yeah, so and these have evolved a lot. I mean, we, you know, if you look at our first one a few years ago to what we do now, I mean, we literally pick a topic and something that's really hot today, whether it's, you know, wireless, home automation, Internet of Things, and we put the topic out there and we say, you know, we want you to, you know, like let's take the home automation one. We want you to, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a dev kit. You're going to get a CAD tool. And these are the four other things. And we want you to come up with something that makes our day-to-day lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
Submissions can go on. You know, we'll say, okay, you have like a 2 to 3 week period to create a submission. Everybody submits openly on the community. And that people get very, very detailed. You know, I'm going to create this device where I can actually track. One of them was, you know, the typical, I want to track where my teenager goes in his car, how close follows other cars, how fast he drove. You know, another person was creating something like a security system for somebody that was disabled and couldn't, you know, get to the door. They could actually see who was knocking at the door and who, you know, when the mailman got there and things like that. So those are just some examples, but they'll post these, you know, very detailed submissions. And then we actually go through and we pick, say, the 10 best ones. And then we have a competition period of, you know, it can be from 3 to 6 months even, because it depends how, some of these are very detailed designs. And what we'll ask them to do is every week give us an update of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
they're really sharing their ups and downs. Like they're like, oh, okay, this week I tried this and it failed completely. Mm-hmm. And we'll have members of the community jump in and say, have you tried this? Have you tried this? And it's really great. And then we do like weekly roundups where we say, okay, here's where these competitors got to this week. And when it's all done, they do show their finished product. We showcase them on video. We do Google Hangouts.
Oh, wow.
With them so they can actually show what they came up with. And then the big thing now is we're trying to help some of these guys actually take it through to production.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that's what we, yeah, and that, I mean, that's where we're all very passionate. I mean, we really want to see these things come to fruition and be out there and be products that people can actually use, whether they develop them themselves, because they have the information on the community or whether this person actually ends up selling it. So it's just been really, really a very cool ride to watch how these things have developed over the last few years. And, you know, we've got some big ones out right now around wearables challenges. There's one right now on pollution sensing. So, you know, letting people detect how much pollution is in the air and how much they're, what they're doing mm-hmm. to the environment. That one actually launched this week, I think today. So yeah, it's all out there.
Those sound really, really cool. And I mean, I just love that it's like giving back to the world, you know, like making the world a better place sort of thing. I think that that aspect is really great. And I could imagine that, especially given the time that it takes, you know, you're talking about like a 3 to 6 month time period for some of these contests. I could really see some really strong bonds being forged between some of the community members, especially if, you know, someone needs help and a few other people hop in. It's like almost everyone kind of becomes like invested in seeing how far this project can go. And that's just, I mean, it's a beautiful thing that I think that's really, these challenges to me, like seeing and hearing you talk about how they go from start to finish really kind of, embodies the entire spirit of community. So that's really fantastic to hear that you guys do that. And I would love to see more communities do that more often. That's really neat. Well, one last question for you before we wrap up is what are your tips? I mean, you guys literally have so many different types of content that you've used. You know what works, what doesn't work. What are your tips for any sort of community manager who's looking to try different tactics with their content strategy? I think a lot of people out there get pigeonholed into just focusing on discussion forums and blog posts, and that tends to be it. So what would you recommend to that person who wants a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I would say we've tried a number of things and many first iterations didn't work. I would try when you come up, you know, with a new tactic, obviously, I mean, the discussions are great, but we found, that anything that's new innovation, controversial, those things, of course, drive, the best content creation. But definitely, I guess, when you come up with a new tactic, try to do it in a way that's sustainable. For a period of time where you can learn, iterate, and revise. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at some of our early examples of webinars and road tests, oh, they were not overly successful. I mean, some products just can't be road tested. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to read about a review of a connector. I mean, it's, you know, where we sell a ton of products, not all of them are appropriate for a road test, and they're not going to drive discussion. And when we did come up with something, we would try it for a while and make sure that the whole plan was about iterating it for like a 6 month period, because it's so easy to give up, you know, and say, well, that failed. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's been talked. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. This one guy talked, but what did he talk about? And really just make sure that when you say we're going to launch something new, you've got a period of time and different ways to try it. Like, don't just come up with one way and then say, oh, it didn't work, because
and throw it out
we've just learned through, yeah, I mean, we've just learned through iteration and patience. And really, now that we've got our top members group, we really run by them. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should pay their best members and kind of have them in like your own internal focus group for your community. I mean, our top members group is like the lifeblood of what we do. We run everything by them. Not everything, but most things. We really run it by them, and they're so honest and critical, which is what we need.
Yeah.
So it's really a good, they're a great reality check.
Very
cool. Would be big advice too, is to have your your top have a top members group that you can really rely on to get honest feedback on something.
Yeah, you need to have that sort of third perspective that is not so close. You know, when you're sitting at your desk and you're working on something and you've been working on it for 3 days and you think it's amazing, and then you hand it to someone else and they say, "Oh, well, that's crap." It's helpful to have someone kind of hold a mirror up to you so that you can can judge yourself. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for your time today and for sharing all this information and ideas with us. I forgot to mention this earlier. Diane is one of our speakers coming up at Sprint on October 29th and 30th in San Francisco, and she's going to be talking in much more detail about the Element 14 community and really everything that she's done to get this really incredible audience of smart, smart, brilliant, brilliant engineers to talk to one another online. So make sure to go to sprint.feverbee.com to register to join us and join her for that talk. If you like this episode in particular, you can visit communitygeek.com/podcast to review our show notes. And I think that about does it for the day. So thank you so much, Diane. And thank you to everyone else out there listening. I really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.